Shall we pray together? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are grateful and thankful. We are grateful that we might be able to rejoice in song and hearts with thanksgiving. Your mercies, your kindnesses, your graciousness is so marvelous, and we wish to lift up such praise as it's not even beginning to be worthy of all that you are, but it's what we have, and we wish to honor you in every way we know how. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of having your scriptures, that we might be able to look into these areas of scripture and to meditate upon them. And Father, may it be that as we think about these things, we will be more perfectly conformed to that image which you would more perfectly desire of us. Thank you, Father, for your kindness. Thank you that we can spend this time before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Got three passages of scripture that we want to spend some time in. Jeremiah 1, that's where we'll start. We're going to go to Ephesians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5 before we get done, Lord willing. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 1. Some of you might say, well, Pastor Hosh is getting addled. He's preaching something he went over some months back. And in a sense, you might think that if you're not looking at this carefully, because in Jeremiah 1:5, it's something that we spent probably maybe a week or two over in these days gone by. And I think the pastor's given his opinions on some of these things too. Jeremiah is quite a guy. And he found out that he was ordained of God. And so that's kind of the topic, ordained of God, that we will look at here in this. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I formed thee in the belly, or before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant." When we see this relationship that the Lord is establishing with Jeremiah, we need to understand that the plan of God has an eternal character. And we see that to some degree in the first verse there, verse 5, because it talks about, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." We don't know how long that was, but it was before. And as far as Jeremiah is concerned, that's eternity. Because before I am, I can't even imagine. And so this is a concept that we have an all-knowing God, and He has a plan that is that which He works out, and so He knew, Jeremiah. "Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee." And so we see the providence of God goes back a long ways. And we also see that then I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So when we talk about the things that God has in preparation for our lives, we really don't grasp all of that. There's someone who's born and they live a certain number of years and then all of a sudden they get saved. We find that God has transformed them and changed them and works with them and if we look at the other end of it, they look back and they say, yes, all of this was planned by God. He worked it out. He allowed these things to take place, these things to take place. And looking back, I can see that I either more effectively or less effectively accomplished that which I know God had for me. And one of the things that we have here is this word, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I looked up the word and it seems to be a little bit different word than I anticipated when I looked up the idea of ordained, because a lot of times when things are ordained, like in our congregation, we talk about the budget that Brother Laird has made for us and we all get together and we look it over and we raise our hands and say, this is what it'll be for this year. And that, in that sense, that's a concept of ordination. But that's not really what's involved here. This is something that is a little more specific than that, in many ways. This idea of ordained here is that God, in His providence, He gave this job to this man, Jeremiah. He ordained him. He gave him a job. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And so, in this sense, not only did he give him a job, but he also gave to the nations an individual to do this job. And so, in that sense, we carry in the idea of ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, I want you to keep this word gave, or to give, which is the present tense of the word. I want you to keep that in your mind because this is going to be the focus of what we're going to think about here as we go through this and a couple other passages this evening. Now, just in case that you find that Jeremiah is some marvelous fellow who is has been given this job or ordained to be a prophet, that he is any different than you or me. In verse 6 he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now, think about this. You've done this yourself. Whether it was as a child and dad said, "Move the firewood pile from here over to there." "But Dad, I'm a child, I can't do all that. Don't expect me to be carrying out this big responsibility." Or whatever it might be when it comes to a responsibility that would come to us as individuals, God gives it to us, and as likely as not, the response that we would give is that, "Boy, this is bigger than I am. I can't handle this. I can't carry it out. I can't speak well enough, or I don't have enough strength," or maybe it comes down easier to this: "I don't want to. I just don't want to." Okay? So here we have this guy, Jeremiah, and notice that I have ordained thee a prophet unto whom, there in that verse 5. Nations. Oh, nations. Now, if God were to say to Jeremiah, "Go give a message to your brother," that's one thing. That's not quite so hard to do. Jeremiah, go and give a message to everybody in your neighborhood, or in the section in which you live, the township or the county. We're starting to spread it out, aren't we? Give a message to all of these people. You would say, "Well, I guess I could understand this. Now they're saying, oh, wait a minute, Western Pennsylvania. Western Pennsylvania. Now you're beginning to say, wow, got to find me a mule or something to ride so I can get from this spot to that spot. It's called a Ford, is that what it is? Okay. Dodge. I started something there. That's okay. But it wasn't just to Western Pennsylvania, it was to the nations. And in this sense, it's not just to Israel that this is being spoken to, not even directly implied to Israel in some ways, because the word nations is the word goy in Hebrew. Goyim, some of you who are literate in Hebrew, that's those people that aren't Jewish. That means it goes beyond the borders of Israel. That means it's the people who you don't really want to be involved with. That would be like saying you have to go to where's the kind of people you like the least? You've got to go to them. It also could include these kinds of people in which the message is to go for. And he says, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. How old are you? Think about this now. Think of your age. There's only a few in here that can claim this child thing and get away with it. All the rest of you, me, We can't pull this off. But he tried it. Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. All that I shall send you. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Now that's one of the reasons a lot of people, when they go to the store and stand in the line, I know there's a few of you that are different than that. You don't just turn around and start a conversation with everybody. You're afraid of their face. You don't know if they're going to scowl at you, smile at you, or what. And probably even those of you who are inclined to do that, you look around and take a gander to see what kind of personality they seem to be. If they're ones that are rough and tough and they're likely to smack you if you start talking to them, you're going to leave them alone. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Who's with him to deliver him? It's the Lord who's speaking, saith the Lord. That's what it says there in that verse. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, what words is he talking about? This is the word of God. And in many senses, we could say, yeah, you have that same message, that same passage available to you. All we have to do is open it up and put a little bit of it there. And we could not say that we are without words ourselves. There are some people who can open it up and memorize it and poke it out. And there's other people, more like me, doing well if you can even read it off the page. But it's still there. It's available to us. We can gain it. It's available to us. Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now, notice what he's supposed to do. That's special there. To root out. Have you ever taken a spade and tried to get all the roots out of, from a bush out of the ground? Especially barberry. Have you ever tried that? Pull one up. See if you can just get that out readily. To root out. To pull down. To destroy and to throw down. Now, how many of you are have gone out and tried to do any of that. Think about this now for your own self, whether you're doing it in nature or let's put it this way. How many of you have taken your mouth and let the words go forth and accomplished these kinds of goals? Now, when we're talking about being afraid of faces, that begins to apply a little bit, doesn't it, as we think about it this way? Now, it says here to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. Now, I would suggest to you, if we're talking about words, this has to do with ideas that are out there that are wrong. So if you're going to root out wrong ideas, probably the easiest person to do that with is maybe your children, and at least trying to do it in the beginning. By the way, you get a child with an idea in their head, and you try to get that rooted out sometimes when they're determined they're going to go that route. Or children, try that with your parents. They get some foul idea from your point of view, and you try to root that out of their opinions in their minds. That's not easy. Of course, now keep in mind what the pastor taught this morning before you get going too far on something like that. To pull down. You're pulling down. We've got all these philosophies out here, and the pastor has been spending the morning hours trying to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down. Four things that are involved there. He's been trying to pull down philosophies and to destroy all of these philosophies that are out there in which you spent 13 years trying to learn. And then you spent the last, some of you, 40 years getting it off the television, getting it out of the newspapers, getting it out of the books you've read, whether it's historical fiction or if it's real stuff. All of this stuff has been out there, and pastor's been working to do all of these four things that are right here. But he hasn't left it at that because he's trying to build. So you take that which is there out, and then you try to build and to plant. So I would suppose that would be like trying to plant a new garden in the middle of an old lawn. You've got all the dandelion seeds that are left behind that's been working down into the soil, all of the other stuff that's there, and you're doing all of this, and then you're pulling this down, you're getting it out, and you're preparing the ground, and you plant, and the first thing that comes up through the soil is somehow grass seed seems to come out as fast as anything. Dandelions come in there at close second, and then you've got these little broadleaf weeds that come out and have spikes that come up. All these kind of things, they're some of the first things to come up, and it's constant work to get this taken care of. Not only that, but a lot of the soils that you start with, you have to build up. And people, I didn't do it. People told me, say, you need to put some lime in that soil. And I've had some people around here have told me that every year. And I still haven't done it. But the soil, part of what's there that I've got that I'm working on when I'm working on my garden is soil. I had some guy bring in what was supposed to be topsoil, and it was marvelous clay, rocks, anything but that which was what you'd call favorable for a garden. And so I've picked up rocks, thrown them out, raked them out, and they keep on coming. One thing I know is that when that much dirt finally gives all of its rocks, I don't have to worry about stuff coming up from underneath like some of you do because you've got the original. All I have to do is do that which is there. I might actually get most of the rocks out someday. But that doesn't mean that all these seeds that came in with it, and then I'm taking all these leaves and putting it into the soil so it'll break it up and be softer and so it doesn't turn into cement when we get half a dozen rains. And trying to prevent all of that. I'm working on this. You see, I'm trying to build up the soil. And then I'm planting stuff in that soil. And hoping that the 18 degrees we're going to get tomorrow night doesn't clean me out. It may. I just replant, start again. But you see the job that Jeremiah was involved in here. You see what God gave him to do. And not only this, but the Lord didn't say, Jeremiah, just because you want to say you're a child and you really don't want to do this, God didn't let him loose. And one of the things, the principles that we have that we could take out of this is that God gave to him a responsibility. And as an individual, if we read through all the rest of the book, he said, okay, God, I accept that responsibility. I'm going to do it as good as I can. Although we see a couple chapters where he says, these people are not worth it. I'm not going to say another word. And it burned within him, and finally it spilled forth. Okay? It spilled forth. So here we have, I have ordained thee. I have given thee a prophet unto the nations. And the sense of this prophecy was both looking forward to the future and giving things, and also he spoke very boldly and very plainly, spoke forth the word of God. So the both senses of this prophecy, prophet concept was for Jeremiah, and he continued there. Okay, let's switch over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Remember that word I suggested that you hang on to? And remember when we started out, that word that we talked about when we said the word ordained, it could be thought of as being given and or to give. And when we go to chapter 4, verse 11, we see here concerning the work of God among a people. We come to chapter 4, verse 11. It says, he what? And he gave. Now, we could turn that around, and if we use the fundamental definition of gave, and we go back and compare it to Jeremiah, there's not so much difference here, you know that? He ordained some prophet or some apostles and some prophets. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave these individuals, kinds of people, for a purpose and for a work. And he designated them and provided that there might be a people who could be benefited from this. Okay? Now, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you're an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or pastor or teacher, some of you might, pastors and teachers, you might find that we won't get a lot of hands on this. But I want you to see the purpose for this giving which God gave, or this ordaining. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So that wouldn't be really so much different than the idea of to build and to plant. But you know, sometimes if we were to go to verse 5 of Jeremiah 1, verse 10, where we talked about to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and plant, these people were involved in, that were listed here, really were involved in some of these things that is being mentioned here. For the perfecting of the saints. How do you perfect a saint except you take some things out of their life and plug in something else in his place? For the work of the ministry. If there isn't someone doing something, then there is no ministering taking place. It takes a personal participation, applying it to a need and seeing an effect that takes place. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's building up. And that responds to verse 10 of Jeremiah 1, to build and to plant. So, to edify the body of Christ. Now there's a effect that's going on here. How long do these people do that which God gave them to do? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now see, I guess that's what preaching is all about, isn't it? We take this and we have all kinds of people from every kind of background, and we have to come to where there's a unity of the faith that's involved here, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Now, in some ways, none of us are going to be complete or perfect in that sense. And that's what the sense is. Complete, perfect is, it would be the sense that would probably be here in the sense that are we really complete? I'm not. I'm finding out stuff I have to work on every day as I study and work on things. Maybe I don't see it every day, but that's really what's taking place. There's things that I'm learning and trying to apply and to put into effect. It keeps on coming and keeps on coming. Some weeks and sometimes when God, let me go, give me a vacation, you know, those kind of things have a thought in my mind from time to time. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, now here's the measure. Taking yardstick. I've been taking yardstick lately. I'm trying to do some things, some ideas, and my fussing around at home. And unto the measure of the stature of Christ. There's a standard that has to be there, the stature of Christ. And I'm to be worked on unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's what you ought to feel sorry for this guy down here. He's got a big job because he has to work with me and you. All of this he's having to deal with. That we henceforth be no more, what's that next word? What does Jeremiah say? Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a what? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You think you're not sneaky? That's just like when I gave a $2 bill to that one. She says, that's funny money. Didn't you think my $2 bill was funny money? You still think so? Now, if I'd given her Monopoly money, for sure she would have had the right to say that. But sleight of hand and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceit. So all these people are looking for you, and they say, huh, where's the soft spot that we can poke them with and cause them to doubt their faith? Listen, this time of year, right up to Tuesday, they're going to be poking your soft spot, everybody that they can, and trying to say, this is true or that's true. And you know, if there's a contradiction, they can't both be true. You know, there can't be. Either one's wrong or the other's wrong, or they're both wrong. And if you can't discern the difference, verse 14 has taken effect in your life just as slick as can be. And poor pastor, he's trying to say, come on, guys. Think it through. Do it right. And then there's no doubt in my mind that there's some days he's sitting back there and say, now what am I going to say? Because I'm not so sure about myself on all of these things. I have to work this through and carry it on. Well, maybe he's not that way, but I sure would be if I was having to do all this that he's up involved here. But speaking the truth in love and may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even in Christ. Even Christ. So all of these people are doing all of this, and it continues on and talks about how they're put them together and make us fit together and make us actually able to operate. And this business of being able in verse 16 from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part maketh increase. We heard that before. Build up. The body maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here we are, separate individuals trying to be fit together so that we actually operate as a single body. Poor pastor. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. And we'll try chapter 5 on this one, 2 Corinthians. Remember, we're going to go back now to our original word that we're trying to compare here. We're talking about ordained of God. 2 Corinthians 5, and let's go down to verse 17. This is one of the first verses I ever tried to learn. It says there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, verse 18 is where we get our special word. And all things are of whom? God. Who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want us to understand who's being spoken to here, because the context would suggest that a particular kind of people are being spoken to. And we need to go up to verse 17 to get that. I would believe it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Okay, which one are they talking about? Just the pastor? Just the prophets? Just the any. Okay. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the concept of the new creature is that we're not the same as we were before. I would suggest that in some ways we could compare this to Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This same new creature is then spoken of as we go to verse 18 in the last part, and hath given to us, you see, it's changed from the new creature. It comes on down here, and it says in verse 18, the first part, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us. Those who are the new creature hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, this is a generic passage that speaks to generic people almost. It defines those who are new creatures. So if we're new creatures in Christ, then this passage applies to us, and we have to figure out how we're going to be a part of this in fulfilling the ordination that God has given to us, and that He has given a certain people a task. Not only that, but there's a three-part task in this section, so that don't think that this is all just what's here. It's a three-part task. Now, how you fit into this as an individual is part of how we as individuals, from where we come from, and how we fit into this body, how we feed into this one body that's involved here, that's being talked about in Ephesians, how this all fits together. There needs to be an operation whereby we all fit together. But He hath given to us a ministry. And in this sense, when we're talking about ministry, we're talking about something by which we give attendance to. I'm sure glad that my wife has chosen the ministry of cooking. Some of you think I'm a little bit thin, but if it wasn't for her cooking and her chosen desire to attend to that situation of cooking, you wouldn't see me as heavy as I am. I promise that this was most likely the case. Now, when we're talking about attendance to something, we're attending to this situation of reconciliation, in that there is a need whereby Christ has come and He has provided the salvation that is to us, and He has, in His personal attendance here upon this earth, He has desired to reconcile a people to Himself, such that we would be changed from one kind of people to another, and that there is a ministry of reconciliation that He has, in a sense, left behind to those who are the disciples who followed, and the whole book of Acts is how all of this is kind of put together in that sense. So there's a ministry of reconciliation. This is a general task that's involved there, and we're to be involved in that ministry of reconciliation, whereby Christ has given to us words. Oh, I didn't get to that part here. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now notice here, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto whom? Us. I don't know how anybody in this room who is a born-again believer can say that doesn't apply to me. I don't see it as a possibility. Hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So the ministry of reconciliation has to do with the word of reconciliation. And just so that we don't miss that, verse 20 gives to us the details on this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. So, the word of reconciliation means that we are responsible to take this message that has to do with the idea of Christ is wanting to reconcile the world unto Himself, so that they would not, individuals would not have their sins placed against them, but the condemnation relating to the sins that we have are imputed to Christ, and there's a response that's going to be involved in that. Now, the Spirit of God does a lot of things that's involved here that is beyond our pay grade. But one of the part that is related directly to our pay grade, it has to do with the word of reconciliation. Now, a word is something that's spoken, or it could be something that's written, or something that it's a concept of an idea that's passed from one individual to another individual. So then each and every one of us are fit into this as part of our ordination or our giving that God has given to us that we are to fulfill. And if we were to say, like Jeremiah says, Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. If that's what I say, then God says unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all. I'll stop there. I don't want to confuse you with nations and all these kind of things like that. So then the question that comes up as we look at all of this is that we're to minister and we're to attend to these things. Now I have to ask you this question, because when we're ministering and we're ambassadors, you know, ambassador is one person going to another person with a message that has to do with their need. However it works out, or it might be that there is a mission, an embassy mission. And so then you gather into this location a group of people who then do the task of passing the word from one responsible to another responsible. Now, see, part of what's involved here is that each of you have your own abilities and capabilities, but also your responsibilities. If we all go by ourselves, there isn't as much done. Just like Bob wants to have all the weeds pulled out of the garden. If he has to go do it by himself, it's a big job. But if others join in with this, whenever we finally get a day that's not going to have 14 inches of snow, or 6 inches, or 8 inches, half of what he's predicting, then it makes it work a lot easier. And we have basically done this on the physical plant that's here. Now the question is, and the question has to be there, we have also the word responsibility, the ambassadorship responsibility, to go from here to someone else, somewhere else, to accomplish this job. And it takes the crowd, it takes the body to get the job done. This isn't new, because pastor's been saying this all along. But when we look at this passage here, there's three parts to this. We have the ministry of reconciliation. This is the overall task that's involved. Then we have the word of reconciliation. This is a more specific characteristic relating to the task, which helps fulfill the task. And then we have the ambassadorship, which means that we have to get out of the location we're at, and we actually assign time and energy to go from here to there to make the contact and to pass, make sure the message is passed on. Then God takes that information, as I've been reading the scriptures, and as they hear these things, God begins to cause, through the work of His Spirit, to work in the minds of those who will be saved, that they, all of a sudden, the lights come on. And we've talked about the lights before. The lights come on. Now, it's not our job. It's not our job to go to Iran and say, you have to do this, and to make them do it. And it's not our job to go to someone and say, you got to be saved. You better get the job done, or else. The job is the message. The job is the task of reconciliation. You take two people, and they're fighting. The job is to take the task of reconciling, the message that brings possible the reconciliation to pass, and we're to take that message and to apply it as an ambassador. It didn't say come in with it with troops and guns and armament and all of these kinds of things. It didn't say that. It says take the message and get the job done. So we're to go and to take the message and make sure it's properly transferred in an ambassador format. And each of us have skills and abilities and responsibilities that we would go as a body to get this job done. And then the question is, how much time, how much energy, and how much foot power is going to take place in your individual life in relationship to the other individual lives that are here to accomplish this job? That's what I see out of this passage. Let's bow together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we might be able to spend some time in these scriptures to think about these things and to see how it might apply to me as an individual and how we might be able to, together, accomplish this which you've given to us individually, but also as a group. Father, may we desire, because you have given to us this, the ministry of reconciliation, to be a part of the word of the reconciliation, and to accomplish this as ambassadors, going from here to there. Thank you. Thank you that we might be able to think this through. And may it be that this summer will be a whole different summer. That even the preparations for the singers who will come at the end of next month, we might be able to even use this as a means of accomplishing the ambassador work. Father, may we be a people who honor you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.